Well, we do give you birthday greetings today. We're so thankful that you don't even look that much older, even as you've had another year as a church, but that in fact we find God's church alive and well. That we have splintered and divided and multiplied down through the centuries and millennia of time, but that we still, in fact, are called to be God's church. We may not be from as many different places today, but I would dare say we could get up to 10 or 15 different places of birth. Probably even more than that. Not all in the United States gathered here today. And it was in that early time in the life of the church that they found themselves gathered. I was at a pastor's meeting this week, and one of the pastors says, "Now, I know you're going to preach on the Holy Spirit this Sunday. And I know you're going to use that passage out of Acts 2 that talks about the day of Pentecost." He says, "But now, have you ever really thought about what all went on there? I mean, what are you really going to talk about tongues of fire coming down on their heads and speaking all these different languages, and they had no prior knowledge of how to do that?" He said, what's that really all about? And I said, "Well, that's a great question." So there was probably 8 pastors there, so you know that's about 10 different opinions if you've got 8 pastors. So we had great discussion about Acts chapter 2. And then I had heard this one time along the way, and I said, "Well, you realize that we still practice speaking in tongues every day." There happened to be a couple of youth pastors in the room. I said, "They translate God's word every single time they walk into a school campus, or they sit down in a youth group, and they take what they've seen and they translate it into the language of our youth today." I said, "They're still speaking in tongues every single Sunday." But, you know, it's not just for the generation of our youth. God's Spirit still does that. He's still in the translating business. That we can take His Word, and then somehow, not through our own efforts, He somehow uses the speech of men and women to still speak into people's hearts. He even uses peanut butter jars in order to help the translation. Because it's in the giving that something is translated beyond what words can say. 2 passages of Scripture I want us to look at today. One, certainly, Acts chapter 2, that you've already heard, and you've already heard in dual languages this morning. We thank Jovan for... Now, Jovan, did you really finish the same time I did, or did you just stop reading? Okay, that's wonderful. That's right. He was translating as he was reading there, and he stayed right with me. Beautiful. If you have your Bibles and want to turn, we're going to go to the book of beginnings in Genesis chapter 11. If there's a place in which we can look at what the Spirit does positively, there's another place in which we can see what humanity can and will do if left to our own devices. It's sort of the antithesis of the Acts chapter 2 story. The Tower of Babel. The people go from having one language and build up a tower to make a name for themselves. In the Acts passage, the Holy Spirit comes from heaven upon them, and they're able to speak and understand one another in different languages. The people are scattered from the Tower of Babel in Genesis, and their language confused. It's actually a play on that word, Babel, and Babel, that I'm sometimes accused of by my children. What we can do and just sort of keep going and going. Whereas the disciples are gathered together and their language is different, but they're able to understand one another. It's an interesting dichotomy to read this story from the beginning. A group of people try to make a name for themselves by building a tower to the heavens. And then in another, that group, having gathered out of faith, they're given the call to share the good news of God's deeds of power. And so maybe here's the question for us today. Are we building towers, church buildings, institutions, for the sole purpose of our own satisfaction? Or are we gathering in places where we can be sent out to share the good news? And it's not a new question, but it's certainly a great question on our birthday today, to think in terms what it is we are going to do next. What is it that God is calling us to be about? So, in Genesis 11, there in verses 4, it says, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." There was actually a fear that if they scattered, they would be less connected. Or if they scattered, they would somehow lose something. But I think there was one thing that became very clear to the early church. As they were scattered, it was even called the diaspora, a scattering of the early believers. They were in Jerusalem, and then there was heavy persecution for the Christians. And so they found that they needed to not all be in one place, but as they spanned out, it was in the spreading out that we then see an incredible thing happen. It's not that you get less connected. You then have the privilege of being connected to even more. That you're able to stand out there on your, what you may think of as your own, but you're never, ever alone. The spirit of the church, or the church of the Spirit, is one that goes beyond any particular title that is over the door, that goes beyond any particular creed or covenant that we hold to today. And I see this happening not just in Barber County, but around the globe, that God's presence is still present. The fastest growing churches in the world today find themselves in Latin America, in Asia, where there is heavy persecution in so many instances. But their emphasis and their joy comes in being connected to something far greater than themselves. The psalmist reminds us of this God that we serve. Psalm 104, verses 24 and following. The psalmist praises the God of the universe, the one that spoke everything into existence. He praises God for the vastness and wonder of creation, that God is the provider of all. All creatures look to God for their sustenance and care, their creation, and even their death and renewal. It's a wonderful song of praise. But it is also an opportunity for us to focus on God's goodness. That it is God and God alone who creates it and then becomes the breath and the spirit of His church. It was God who spoke in Genesis 1:1 and said, "It is good after it created all things. And that the church of the Spirit is still speaking into our lives today. The Gospel of John gives us Jesus' final words to his disciples in John 14. He tells us that even as he responds from a question from Philip, Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." We can almost imagine Jesus shaking his head in frustration and saying to the disciples, "If they only were able to get a hold of this understanding. The way of God is the way of Jesus." John's gospel talks about, there's a Greek word used called paraclete, but it's just the word that they use for spirit. It's an advocate or a helper or defender. We do not have to fear because we know God is present with us always. And there are times in our life when fear is the first emotion that comes forward. When we're getting ready to make a major change in our life and we're going to a place that we've not been before, fear can be a natural outcome of that. But the Gospel of John reminds us we do not need to live in fear of the unknown. That even as we go, wherever we go, however we go, God's presence is always with us. Out of Romans chapter 8, not only do you find my mom's favorite verse in all the scripture, 8:28, but in a few verses before that, the writer of Romans declares that all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. The way of God is to include, bless, love, and build up. The way of the world is to divide, separate, and condemn. We witness God's love in our inclusion of one another and in our sharing of God's love with all. It's not just a new idea that the writer of Romans had, but it's a very old belief that even was anchored in the faith of the Jewish people. All of us are created as children of God, and God loves us all. What is new, in fact, as the writer of Romans shares with us, is that this message goes beyond just one group of people, but in fact is shared with all humanity. We have been privileged as a people of God here in the United States. We are so thankful for our forefathers and foremothers, for our parents and their grandparents, and who continue to make sure this is a place where freedom of religion is still held in high regard. And our hearts grieve for our brothers and sisters that do not find their church in an environment as such. But there's never, ever any guarantees. It may not be like that always in the United States. But there is an opportunity for us to give praise to God in whatever circumstance or whatever place the church is found. A good friend of mine pastors a apostolic church down on the boulevard in Charleston, West Virginia. I got to visit with him early Saturday morning. We share the racquetball court together as one of our common interests, but he took time to speak in terms of how God is moving and working in the lives of those on the border of Pakistan and India, and how he has a friend there in ministry, who they'll be baptizing Taliban, and the armies of both sides will be standing on either riverbank, allowing the baptisms to go forward. And he says, that just doesn't happen unless God's Spirit is connected to what's going forward. Great words of testimony about how God's church is still alive and well. A former United Methodist pastor, as he was telling me, he took opportunity to go and do a mission tour in Kenya. And he had 10 or 15 people there the first time he gathered. And then he hired these folks. He says, we want more people to come out. We want to share the good news. So the next time they gathered, there was 4,000 or 5,000 people. He said, well, what did you tell these guys? They said, well, I told them to bring their sick, and they were going to be healed tonight. And this good Methodist pastor said, what? I've never done anything like that. What'd you tell them that for? But then my pastor in Charleston talks of which how God's Spirit showed up in ways that we cannot see or imagine. It is good to know that the church of the Spirit is still alive and well. And may it be so in our hearts. May we be ready and willing to be surprised by what He has in store next. And for our hearts to be open, even if it means scattering. But that in the scattering, God multiplies. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, You are mystery with a capital M. You are the Creator who made all things. You are Christ who loved us so much You gave Your life for us. You are the Spirit who moved over the waters of creation, stirs in the hearts of people and gives wisdom and insight and calls us into new beginnings. You are the three in one. You are the mystery. Help us to not be afraid of the unknown. And give us courage to explore new understandings. Guide us on this journey of faith away from fear and into hope, wonder, and amazement. In Your name we pray. Amen.